Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Welcome back. I'm Hope, and my husband John is here.
Yes, I am.
And we have special guest Jay today.
Hey, everybody.
Jay.
Jay's here.
Jay's here.
And who's Jay? You're going to tell everybody who Jay is?
Yes, he is our second born.
No, it's pronounced favorite. Favorite boy.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yep. Nice.
Yep. Yep.
And he is our first boy, and his whole name is actually J5th.
Good luck spelling that.
But most of the time we just call him Jay because that's a whole lot easier in the world. So to everybody else, unless you explain it, how to say it. But anyways, so if you listened to Alexis when she was on our podcast, Jay is the other part of that story. He was the one on top of the little tight car.
Falling off cars. That's yes. What I'm good at.
Yes, he made it. He recovered.
Barely.
We believe it's fully.
Yeah, I mean, people can't see his face, so they don't know.
We don't video
our podcasts, so.
I have a face for radio. I've been told that once or twice.
Oh, nice, nice. Awesome. So I was thinking about Jay the other day, and he has a lot of very lively, vivid stories from throughout his childhood.
He sure does.
And the one that really stuck out to me the most was when we were all on vacation. And we were all in a hotel room, so the kids were quite young, but there were still all four of them. And it was a long day, and when you have young kids and they are used to a schedule, but when you're on vacation, they're off schedule, so they're all tired and whatever, and things are different going to sleep. And so everybody was settling down, and Jay had fallen asleep, and everybody was pretty quiet, and he always had an easy gag reflex, so I always knew what to expect if he kind of coughed a couple times. And so I heard that, and I jumped up, and I started attending to him, and he did get sick, got him to the bathroom and everything. By this time, all the lights are on because we're all pretty much in one respective area, and cleaned him up, and, you know, of course, everybody's up, and got him settled back down and all of that. And then come the morning, we started talking about it. And he said, "I don't know what you're talking about. What in the world are you talking about?" And I was like, "Last night." And he's like, "What?" And he evidently slept through the entire thing.
I'm a hard sleeper.
Yes, he is very much a hard sleeper. And he does a lot of his creative things in his sleep.
Yeah.
Just a couple.
I don't know. How can we talk about all those on this podcast?
It's up to you.
It would take a long time if we recalled all
How
of
explicit
them.
Do you want it to
I mean,
be?
The thing with Jay and the whole sleeping thing is that, I mean, I think he just, it's bodily functions happen when he's still asleep.
I think I've hit all of them at this point in my life.
Yeah. And I'm not talking necessarily about like wetting the bed or anything like that. We're talking about no. It gets way more creative
yes,
than that.
Yes, it does.
Wetting other things.
Intending on finding the toilet, but yes. Still sleeping, so Failing. Thinking that other things like the trash can
yeah,
is
or a sock
toilet.
Drawer. I don't know.
So. All of the above.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than once. Don't know how that ended up happening. But.
And you know, you brought up the gag reflex thing, and it's like, maybe we should just apologize now to anyone we ever had a meal with when Jay was small. I mean, I can think about the number of times we'd go out after church or whatever, and there would be Jay, and he'd start coughing. And
yes.
He'd lose it at the table or lose it on the way to the restroom or whatever. The number of restaurants that you've actually, like, vomited in is just is pretty crazy. And it's not because of the food.
No.
No, I mean, it was just because of you.
The food was great.
Yeah.
I just ate too much of it.
I don't know.
Or
you just, you thought about coughing, and so that was it.
Ate it too quickly.
You know, the thing we had talked about, because we try to come up with stories about our kids when we do this, I think about when Jay was really, really small and how he would just sit on the floor and reach for things.
Oh, before he walked or crawled, right?
He just would sit there and be like, Like, bring that to me. Reach his hands out.
It was too far.
Yeah, too far. Too, like, if you would have just bent over, you would have reached it, I think.
Well, that's, and believe it or not, it was, that was up until he was 14 months.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like 14 years old.
No. 14 months.
I didn't think it was that bad.
He was so chill, though. He might make that noise to, like, hey, if you can bring that to me, but he wouldn't ever cry or be motivated enough to really go and get it. Like, he was so chill as a young baby. And so then all of a sudden at 15 months or so, he decided to start crawling and then immediately walking. And so it was like crawl, walk.
It makes you wonder if he was really walking the whole time.
When we weren't looking.
Like when we
behind
weren't
closed
looking.
Doors.
Yeah, like you'd go in your room and walk around and be like, ha ha.
Hey, when you're a baby, people pay attention to you.
It could be.
I'll play the system as long as
so
I can.
So I'll sit on the floor and go, ah.
But when he did start walking, his whole personality changed. Like,
the ladies loved me.
It was crazy.
They said, oh, he can walk? Oh, wow.
He went from this super chill, laid-back baby to just all kinds of energy and just getting into trouble. And, I mean, he just changed completely.
Yep.
Yes, he did.
Trouble was my middle name in elementary school, probably.
Yes. He has lots of stories to tell.
I'm sure that's what your first grade teacher thinks.
Oh, she was the worst. her name was Mrs. Worst. Was fitting, but you know, we can talk about that another day.
Oh, man.
She was great. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think she thought you were great.
She didn't.
Yeah. You earned whatever it was that was coming to you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So, we have some fun stories, you know, like we were just sharing. And sometimes there's some not so fun stories, you know, that happen throughout life. And many times, like I want to talk about today as far as forgiveness and hurt. And those not so fun stories can result in hurt that people can have. And so just going to throw this out there. I probably know the answer, but have you ever been hurt by another person?
Once or twice, I would say.
That's it?
Yeah.
Lived in a bubble your whole life?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No, I've definitely been hurt by people in my life. Sometimes they're small things, you know, pretty easy, but sometimes not as easy to go through, figure out and stuff. But definitely been there, done that, and don't recommend.
Yeah, right. Definitely don't recommend. How about you, John?
Yeah. And like Jay said, I think that there's definitely different situations. I mean, Jay's only had 21 years to be hurt. I've had almost 50, so there's definitely been opportunity to be hurt. And I think that hurt is different based on the time of your life, where you're at. You know, things hurt more when you're younger, or things that as you get older, you realize it's not really that big of a deal. And so you
perspective.
Know, that thing that was so heart-crushing at that moment, you know, there's that. But I think for me, when I think about hurt, like the hurt that hurts the most is really hurt that has that you had no idea was coming.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Something that just comes out of the blue,
and
from somebody that you know you maybe put a lot of trust in.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think you know if you've have existed for any period of time, you've been hurt one way or another. I think the majority of the time, it's not necessarily the person doesn't mean to hurt you. I think that a lot of the time it is as a reaction. Somebody that you probably will know who I'm talking about when I say it would very frequently say, hurt people, hurt people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you've been hurt, most likely you're able to hurt other people, whether you mean to or not. I'm sure there are other people out there who hurt people because they're just not nice people.
Right.
They're just mean people and they hurt people. But I think the majority of the people we run into are just hurt people, and then they react a certain way or they say certain things out of that, which then hurts you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, or they just maybe don't know better, you know, about a certain thing.
Yeah.
So, I was thinking also about when we were kids, and you might recognize this, Jay, but I don't know if they necessarily said it when you were little, but they would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so not true.
I know. It's a lie, right?
quite the opposite.
Right.
Both of them can hurt you a lot.
Right.
If not words hurting you more.
Yeah.
Depending on the circumstance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or names. Both. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we say names because it's usually when it's kids, and kids are like, hey, you're stupid, or something like that.
Right. Right. But the Bible talks about the power of the tongue, too.
That's very true.
So, I mean,
it's sharp.
Yeah.
It's sharp.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's one of the sticks and stones. That's just one of those things that people say just to say, I guess.
To deflect.
Yeah. And maybe it's one of those things that teachers are like, but you should say this because this means I don't have to deal with it.
You know? That would be a kick in the head if there was a teacher who originally came up with that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the tattle wall. If you want to tattle on somebody, go tell a wall or something.
But, we did the I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. That was that was one of the ones we said all the time.
That's how you say it back without saying it back.
Yeah.
So you can't get in trouble.
Right. So you can't say the bad word.
Well, what you said is actually what I'm saying to you. So.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But yeah. So those words, they cut deep.
Yeah.
They really do. And again, if the person is meaning to be mean, which sometimes as kids, you know, that does happen. It helps them feel bigger, you know, probably some adults too. But those words do hurt. And like you mentioned, John, it does say in the Bible that we have the power of life and death in our tongue. And so we really need to be careful with that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably going to be for another podcast. But but yeah, definitely. We need to be careful of our words, and we can definitely be hurt by those words, especially when the person's close to you. I think somebody had mentioned that before.
Yeah.
That when the person's even closer to you, you know, that they mean more to you. So when they say those hurtful things, then
it cuts deeper. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely be hurt by somebody that's more of an acquaintance, but the closer they are to you, the harder the hurt comes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was also thinking about this subject that today, which didn't exist with us as kids, John, but today we also have social media.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have like the cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, it's huge because, you know, certain people can be mean to other people face to face. But whenever you're not seeing their face, whenever you're just on the computer, on your phone, you know, and you're seeing something that hits you a certain way and you just say something that could be hurtful, or you're being intentionally hurtful because you want to put that other person down, not being face to face, it kind of it makes the person not so human.
Right.
But yet those words even hurt more. And I think that there's more of a chance of hurt that can go deeper.
Yeah.
Because the person on the other side is, or, you know, the person who's doing the hurting is being a lot more bold and, you know, in what they're saying and everything. Cause I would like to not believe that those people would say those same things if they were face to face.
Right. And the thing too, is like they're saying what they're saying to you in a public setting. So now their words are not just they're not just saying it to you. They're saying it to you so that everyone else can see it. So it just, and then people want to jump on the bandwagon. It's it's funny you said that. And I think about I know Facebook is for old people, Jay. So but
you can group them all into one.
But Facebook, thing, you know, when I'm on Facebook, like groups that you belong to, especially like community groups that have to do with like the city you live in or whatever. So it's a place where people go just to like ask a question.
Yeah.
And man, people are vicious on those sites.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. It's like, and look, there are a lot of people that aren't super smart that ask a lot of not super smart questions. And so you can read that and go, oh, like, did you really need to ask that?
Right.
But the thing is, like, that somebody like me, I'll be like, oh, did you really need to ask that? And I say that in my head. Some other people are like, why are you such a moron? Why'd you ask that question?
Right.
You know, saying that from behind their keyboard. And I'm just like, man, like, you don't even know that person and you're being crazy. And then, of course, there's, you know, 47 other people that jump on the bandwagon and we're like, yeah, you're dumb.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, it just snowballs. Mm-hmm. And like, then, you know, you never know where that person is. That person could be on the edge of feeling anything, worthless right? anyways, you know, or whatever. And
you have people that don't even know why they're mad at you. But since right. everybody else is, they think they should be too.
And have you ever seen that kind of stuff happen in like a group chat, Jay, or things like that? I mean, like yeah. when you were in school, like, I mean, I'm thinking of cyberbullying from my perspective as an old person, you know, but like as a teenager, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff happens there too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of, and I feel like when social media progresses even more than, you know, like back when you were young and there was Facebook and stuff and...
When I was young and there was Facebook?
Yeah. Like,
there wasn't Facebook when I was young, Jay.
There was no internet.
When you were younger than you are now.
Okay.
But even as social media progresses and like it gets worse, like there's more and more people on social media. There's young people on social media who are getting introduced to that kind of thing at a young age. And it kind of starts influencing them more than it should because they're still in those years of... deciding how they want to be, like what their character is going to be and everything. So they're getting introduced to that kind of stuff at a young age and it's turning them into something that they never really had to be. Mm. So it's definitely, I feel like it might be worse because there's more opportunity. There's more, opportunity is the right word. Like there's more opportunity for young people to be in that area of bullying on the internet and cyberbullying and jumping on bandwagons for no reason at all. And it just is really bad.
Yeah.
A lot of people get hurt and people are saying things that they would never say in, you know, face to face. And it's just not okay at all. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know that a number of those sites have a minimum age and there's a good reason for that.
Right.
But most of the time, I know a lot of parents that are just like, whatever.
It's easy
just,
to lie.
Everybody has it and whatever. And I know that we were really restrictive. I mean, we wanted our kids to get to a certain age, you know, before they, you know, even were on one of them because understanding that, you know, those middle school years are very formative. And and you're already, when you're in middle school, you're already in the mindset of, I'm going to look to other people to tell me who I am. Mm-hmm. And if they don't accept me, then I'm not accepted. Mm. And I would like to think that we tried really here at home hard to help you guys have your identity and where it should be in Christ. And
yeah, absolutely.
And I would really like to believe that because I think that that's really the answer.
Yeah.
It's the answer for everybody, but especially as young kids being in school and middle school and everything, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we get hurt, we tend to build walls. Mm-hmm. We build walls mainly around our heart, around ourselves, and it's understandable. I believe that it is a complete natural response because, I mean, if you get hurt, you build a separation. You build a way to protect yourself, to protect your heart, and I believe that most people function with walls because they want to protect themselves because they've been hurt.
Right.
So, they have walls around what we'll just say their heart, you know, which again is very natural. In fact, God says to protect your heart in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart for everything you do flows from it. So I'm going to read that one more time. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So this is talking about be careful what you feed yourself because you need to make sure whatever you see here, be careful little eyes what you see.
Right. Oh, you know? Yeah.
Because whatever you're taking in is affecting your heart. You're feeding your heart. And so that's definitely a part of what the scripture is saying. But I also believe it is about protecting your heart. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I believe that most people function with walls around their heart unless they've figured out another way to handle.
Because it's easy to build that wall. Super fast.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it's the,
and you keep it there is easy too.
Yeah. You mean it's like,
you're like, I'm able to do this and I'm not getting hurt. So why would I try to get rid of it?
Right. Right. Because then you're making yourself vulnerable again.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. But at the same time, whenever you are harboring that hurt, because somebody hurts you, whether it's as a young child or whoever, the wall goes up. Mm-hmm. So you're protecting yourself from any other hurt, you think, for the most part, but you still have hurt. And when you still have that hurt and you're harboring that hurt, that's what comes out. Mm-hmm. And so that's how hurt people hurt people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They don't most of the time mean to, but that's what they react out of. So even when we put up that wall to protect our heart, we're still hurt, which can in effect. So we're going to talk more about that too. So what do you think we can do to get past the hurt? Like what's kind of like your initial thoughts on that?
I think that, you know, different situations call for different, you know, measures of like what you should do. But I think it all, you know, starts at forgiveness and kind of not only forgiving the person, but like, I don't want to say forgetting, like forgive and forget, but like there's an aspect of you should be able to forgive the person and understand that it, like you were saying earlier, didn't come on purpose. It didn't happen on purpose, that there's probably something where it came from. I mean, conversations are a big one. You know, talk to the person. Don't, you know, close yourself off from them at all, because that makes it really difficult to feel like you can forgive them. You know, like you can forgive them in your own heart, but if they don't know because you refuse to talk to them because they hurt you,
right?
It can be hard to like feel like you got, you know, the full forgiveness that you need to in order to, you know, not continue to have those walls towards that person.
Right. Right.
I think sometimes you just got to process it first, and you need to pray.
Yes, that's absolutely.
Yeah, that too.
Pray, because, and maybe that's like people who don't follow God. Maybe that's why they hold on to it. Even I mean, look, people that do follow God hold on to it too. I'm not trying to say that
it's just a whole lot harder to function without God. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, you have to work through it, and you have to be. You have to get to the point where you're willing to be vulnerable again, and you have to, acknowledge the entire situation. You have to acknowledge the part that's your part in the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes when you got hurt,
you did something.
You got hurt because you were
poking a bear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the bear swiped at you.
Yeah. You were provoking.
Yeah. Right. So I mean, you have to acknowledge that. You know. Sometimes it's just take the high road too, you know, but
forgiveness is hard. Mm-hmm. It really is, but it definitely is necessary to get rid of the hurt. Yeah. We have forgiveness and then we have healing. So many times it depends. The situation can be so different. It can be something from a really long time ago. It can be, you know, like a hurt that you've had from a long time ago. Maybe that person isn't even with us anymore. You know, maybe they've died or something. It could be something that's more recent. I mean, so the variety of situations that we're kind of doing a broad application to today, you know, it definitely could be more broken down to be more specific.
Because I guess sometimes you don't even realize the hurt's there.
Right.
You built a wall around this thing that's there that's from a million years ago. Mm-hmm. And until something new brings that up or reminds you of that, like you forget that it's even there. And again, that can come up and you can be like, oh my goodness. And you know, and all that frustration and whatever, all the feels that you had about it that were negative all come back again.
Yeah.
And that's how you know that the hurt's still there.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And you can forgive and still be hurt.
Yeah,
sure.
You could still have that wound. Mm-hmm. That you need to allow God in to heal it.
Yeah, I think that forgiveness doesn't always just, it doesn't make it, it's
doesn't fix the problem.
It doesn't make it all better.
Yeah.
Right, right.
It's a step in the right direction. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a step you have to take.
Right. Right.
But it doesn't mean that like the moment that someone hurts you and you're like, I forgive you, I feel so much better now. No, I don't think it's like that either.
Right,
There's not like this immediate switch that just flicks and you're like, everything's better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's even getting to the point of forgiving.
Right, so you're willing to do that.
Right. There's many times that I've talked with people and I say, well, you know, you need to forgive them. And then there's all kinds of reactions.
But I don't want to, and they did this, and blah, blah, blah.
They don't deserve to be forgiven.
Yes, that is one of the number one things, is that they don't deserve it. One of the other things is it doesn't make it okay. Mm-hmm. Like, what they did to me was not okay. Well, forgiveness doesn't say that it was okay.
Yeah.
And that's so true, too. They don't deserve it. Those are some of the immediate reactions that I get from people whenever we talk about this, because it's like they don't.
Right. The key to forgiveness isn't about whether or not they've earned the right to be forgiven.
Right.
No, it's really not. And then also, especially if it's something more current, they don't want to be hurt again.
Yeah.
And if they think if they forgive them, then they're just opening up the door for them to hurt them again. Mm-hmm. So it's all of those different things. But let's just make it clear in case anybody out there is not sure. Whenever we forgive people, it does not make what they did to us okay.
Right.
Especially if it is something that is very much directed to hurt or a behavior that happened, that it's not okay at all. Mm-hmm. It never makes it okay.
Right. Forgiveness is not justifying that person's actions.
Exactly.
By me saying, I forgive you for whatever it was you did to me, doesn't mean that all of a sudden doesn't mean all of a sudden what you did to me is okay, or that I'm going to just all of a sudden be okay with whatever that was. It's like there's still, it could be a process of towards that healing, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
That reminds me of something that happened when I was in elementary school, and I don't remember exactly what was said, but something was said to me that got the kid who said it to the principal's office. And, you know, when you're in elementary school, there's not really a ton of punishment that happens, but the principal made sure to make the kid tell me that he was sorry for, like, what he did and what he said. And my initial response was, you know, he's like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, it's okay. And like the principal immediately cut me off. He's like, no, it's not okay. Mm. It's like, don't say that it's okay because what he said is not okay. Tell him that you forgive him. Mm. You know, it's like a lot of the times it's like, I'm sorry. It's like, oh, it's okay. It's fine. It's like most of the time it's not, you know, don't let them think that, like you were saying, don't let them think that what they did is okay, because most of the time it's not. It's never okay.
Right.
Not most of the time. It's never. But it is still important to forgive instead of just being like, oh, it's okay. So,
yes, exactly. And many times when people think that they're not giving the forgiveness to that person, they are not giving them because they don't deserve it. That's their perspective of it. And they feel if they give them that forgiveness, that they're kind of letting them off. They're letting them off the hook. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, I think in a way they think that they're kind of imprisoning them, you know, like I'm going to keep you far away from me. This is how I'm going to protect myself. I'm not going to forgive you because I'm going to keep you in this place because I'm not going to forgive you. Because if I forgive you, then it's going to free you up.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
However,
right, it's almost that whole, like, if I don't forgive you, then you can continue to feel bad about what you did.
Right.
Keep them behind the wall.
Right.
Well, that sounds like spite.
Yep.
It does, but it makes that person feel in control.
Sure.
Yeah.
And when you've been hurt by somebody, that's what you want. You want control.
Right.
It's not healthy.
Right.
But that is our natural response. We need to feel like we have control of the situation or of the person. And so that's how we want to try to control the situation. I'm going to keep you locked up by not forgiving you. However, that is quite opposite because when we don't forgive, we're actually keeping ourselves locked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, think about people that don't forgive and then they miss out on opportunities because that person, maybe they do pass away, or maybe they just move away, or maybe whatever. And it's just like, it's like you ended up like,
locking yourself in a box that now you can't get out of.
Yeah. Or missing out on something
that
could have been really cool.
Yeah. I also feel like unforgiveness, like anger and different things like that, can actually be poisonous to us.
Sure.
I believe I see it as poison, and it keeps us from growing. It keeps us from going forward. But the lie of the enemy is, no, they don't deserve it. Keep them locked up. You know, like, because right. you're going to free them from gonna, what they did if you again. Forgive them.
Right.
Right. But then you're just letting that poison stay inside and fester right. inside of you. And it's going to exactly, kill you.
Exactly right. what the enemy wants.
Sure.
Yep.
Anything that steals, kills, or destroys you is what the enemy is going for. So just know that.
And it's easy when what he wants is what the flesh wants too. Because
yeah,
he'll
absolutely.
Come in and just be like, well, this is what would feel good right now, so why not?
Yep.
But that really destroys spiritually.
Be mad.
Right.
Be angry.
Okay.
They deserve it. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Easy enough. I don't have to go out of my way to do anything. So
I'm already angry. So I'm
right.
this works.
I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to do what I'm doing. So.
And you know what? Our day-to-day things that possibly could hurt us, that other person maybe doesn't even know that they hurt you.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they could, you know, it could have been almost anything. You know, but yet you have this whole thing going on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to forgive them because they don't deserve it. And they offended me and da 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 da.
Like, what did I do?
Right. And the other person's like just living their life, right. all good to go. And you think that you're keeping them in some place, but you're just poisoning yourself.
Right.
See, and I've been on that other side of it where it's like, someone else has taken offense by something that I didn't even know I did. Mm-hmm. Or I was like, are you really? Like, what? Like, you really? Like, that offended you?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they chose to be that
quiet about it,
or no, they just chose to be like angry and frustrated at me, and I'm not going to talk to you, and I'm not going to be your friend, and I'm not going to do this. And it's like,
if it's the time I'm thinking about, I believe that person didn't talk to you for like a year.
Yeah, it was at least a year. Yeah,
yeah, and it wasn't me, guys. Just no, so you know, it was not me.
Yeah, it was really rough.
Jay was like, they were not speaking. It was so bad.
They did nothing. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
No, but.
But yeah, I mean, it was crazy. But that situation, I mean, it was nuts. It was just like, I was like, for real? Like, mm-hmm. like because mm-hmm. I had feelings about something that it was, I don't know, it was just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that can happen. It can be the littlest, smallest thing.
Yeah.
Like you weren't even aware of it. Like
right.
you were like, what did I do? You
right.
see the reaction of that person and you're just like, what happened?
Right.
Like, you know. So I'm going to read Matthew 6:14-15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That is some heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think that that's a verse that many people like to skip right over.
Sure.
Because it really holds us responsible. And I don't believe in my heart of hearts, God, correct me if I'm wrong, please, but I don't believe this has to do with actual salvation. Like, this isn't the forgiveness for salvation. This is talking about just living life and trying to keep those people imprisoned. By not forgiving them, we actually are locking ourselves in prison.
Yeah.
And he's trying to help us understand that we won't be forgiven unless we choose to forgive. Mm-hmm. He didn't say if it's not so hard.
Right.
He didn't say as long as they only did this. It is all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all of it. And he does not cross his words in this at all. Jesus says it straight up. Like yeah. there are some things that, you know, we could bring all kinds of different ideas and things out of because they're parables and it's kind of like a mystery. There's a mystery here.
Right.
right.
Very no parable. Point.
Pretty straight.
This is it.
Very to the point. And so we need to forgive out of obedience. Mm-hmm. And it's because he knows what's best for us, really. It's not just to say, you know, do this, don't do that. He knows how we are. And if we don't forgive, we will be imprisoning ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that that's exactly what he's trying to say here. We need to forgive. And like we said, it's hard. It's a very hard thing, but it's a really important process. So I want to come back to, we talked about the walls before.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have walls. Walls around your heart are not good. Walls, like we already talked about, you have that hurt already inside. And so the hurt is in your heart And it's possible for God to heal that. But when you have walls around your heart, these big, tall walls, no love can go out and no love can come in. Walls prevent relationship. Mm-hmm. You can function in life for a good long time. You can even have a pretty healthy relationship. You can have a godly relationship. But if there's walls, eventually they will affect you. I have talked to younger married people. They have kids. They go to church. You know, even one, you know, husband was a pastor. They're both in ministry. They love each other. They have a very loving home. They love their kids. They're doing their best with their kids, raising them. Very, very healthy atmosphere. They have great friends. But I was praying with her one time and I saw walls around her heart. And so I began to talk to her about this. And I said, do you feel yourself drifting away from your husband? Not like, you know, intensely, but emotionally. She's like, yeah. And I said, and you have no idea why. Yeah. Like, there's no reason. We're going to church. We read the Bible together. We have our kids. We're, you know, just this active, amazing, Jesus-led life. But yet, whenever, you know, she's just feeling this separation. She's feeling this pulling away. And I said, that is the walls around your heart, because it comes to a point where if you leave those walls up, that you can't stay connected.
Right.
It keeps you, like, you will start eventually pulling away. And I believe that if you leave those walls there, thinking I'm, you know, keeping myself safe and everything, that it will eventually end up bad. Your marriage will go sour. Yeah. And it will be like, you'll be like, what happened? I think it can happen with your kids, any close relationships. Mm-hmm. That if you keep those walls up, because eventually it's really hard for the love to come in and for the love to go out, mm-hmm. which is why walls are not good. So we need to get rid of the walls. Well, that's really scary. Oh, earlier. <yeah. laughs>
We're having a Jericho march and we're getting rid of them walls.
Whether you're ready or not.
I just see Veggie Tales with the French peas on top of the wall.
Nice.
Throwing slushies at
throwing
them.
Slushies. Sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Only if it was that easy.
Yeah.
So the walls will come down.
Yeah.
It's just most of the time we don't want them to.
Mm-hmm. We're scared.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if the walls come down, all of a sudden we are completely exposed.
Right.
We're vulnerable. You said that earlier, to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
We're vulnerable. And so how do we handle that? How do we handle being completely exposed and open and vulnerable by taking the walls down? So we understand walls aren't good, but we want to take them down. But all of a sudden, everybody can hurt us again, mm-hmm. because we have no means to guard ourselves, to protect ourselves, which, again, is a good thing. We should be doing that. So God will bring down the walls if you let him and if you're ready. But I want to kind of give you a couple tools in your toolbox today to help you. God showed me a long, long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Because I've heard this
many a time.
Many times.
Jay, when he was younger... like I said, had lots of energy and big personality, big leader personality. Actually, all the kids do.
See, this is why you're on this podcast, Jay. Now we're to the real reason you're here.
This is the real stuff.
The real deal. I do have to say that we probably have the most alike personalities.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably a good part of why he has grown me so much.
I'm glad she can admit she's like you.
Yes.
Or you're like her, or how that works.
All of the above.
But I can remember certain times that that Jay had hurt me. Of course, I know for a fact that it wasn't intentional. You know, it would be kind of like when I would be helping him with his homework. And I want him to tell his side after I tell my side, because he just told me that the other day, like literally. And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
And then she finally forgave me. All those years later.
The wall came down.
Finally.
It took 15 years.
Yeah. But yeah, so he would want to help. And so I would go over, and as a teacher, I would ask him questions to try to lead him to the answer, because I'm a teacher at heart and I will not just give the answer, because that's not what teachers do. And so I would help him. I would be trying to ask him his questions, and he would get very frustrated with me and then say something like, you don't even care. And loving my kids so deeply, that hurt me. Mm. And there was enough of these situations, which, you know, that we went through, which then I had lots of hurt. I had lots of hurt. But I wanted you to tell the other side of that story with homework.
Yeah, I think it's like there was a part of me that always thought this, but never really kind of put it into words until we had talked about it the other day. But like when I was asking for help, I didn't want help. I wanted the answers. But I knew that if you were to just ask for the answers, they wouldn't give it to you. So
right,
me trying to be manipulative, he was like, you know, just help me with this, like, hopefully she'll just give me the answer. And then instead of getting the answer, I would get more questions. And I'm like, I didn't ask for more homework. I asked for the answer. And so it was just kind of, it became frustrating because she was actually trying to help me the correct way. I just wasn't seeing that at the time. I was just,
of course not. You were very young. Right.
I was in my head just wanting to get done with it and wanting to not have to deal with it. And I wasn't getting that. So, you know,
yeah.
Jay, just so you know, that doesn't just happen to kids.
That's true.
When I went in work, there was a guy that I sometimes had to call.
Mm-hmm.
He worked at the corporate office and I was at a regional office. And so it's like, so by the time I'm calling him for help, I'm calling him for an answer to a question that I don't know the answer to.
Right.
And the man would just start asking me, well, John, what do you think this is? And I'm like, if I knew what it was, I wouldn't have dialed your phone number.
Yep.
So you are somewhat like your father.
Exactly the same as that. And there are times when people just need to give the answer right. And not be difficult. But when we're about the homework situation, it's definitely not one of them. You know, she wasn't in the wrong. She was definitely doing, you know, she's a teacher, so she knows that I'm not going to learn if she just gives me the answers. So, but I didn't understand that when I was 12.
Of course not.
I just was frustrated. So There was definitely, you know, heat of the moment, a lot of things I would say. And, you know, when you're young, you don't realize how much of an impact that has on people. And like, but going back to the whole, your tongue is sharp, like that kind of stuff will hurt more than if I would have just like thrown a book at her. Like looking back now, I'm like, that probably would have been easier. Just kidding.
you should sit and have a conversation with your Uncle Jason about homework.
Oh boy.
Oh geez. Yeah. But
there's stories there too. Just ask grandpa and grandma. They'll tell you.
That's a whole nother podcast.
So when I realized how much these words, and I knew that it was out of frustration.
Yeah.
I knew that. I knew that he didn't really feel that way. But again, those words are powerful. And, you know, eventually it just got to the point where it was hard. It was really hard for me to help him. It was hard for me to want to put myself back in that situation, or sometimes just to be around him. I mean, and it really is. And I haven't shared this part and where this specific tool that I'm going to share came from, because I didn't ever want to hurt you, and I don't want you to feel like, oh man, I suck, you know, but
I did back then. You don't have to lie. There was parts of me that did.
But you were growing up, you were learning, and that's the thing. But anyways, so I came to God. Again, people who try to do life without him, I don't know how they do it, but
they don't. That's the problem.
Yes, that's true. That's very, very true. Or they continue to hurt other people.
Right.
So I went to God and I said, okay, God, something has to happen here. You have to show me what needs to happen. You know, all the kids are young. I still have lots of this to work through, you know, show me, what do I do with this? And he gave me a picture. He gave me a picture of my heart. It didn't look like my real heart. It just would look like a heart.
Like a Valentine heart.
Yeah, like a Valentine heart. Yeah. Exactly. And then there were these circles or rings that came out from the heart that completely, you know, surrounded it. There were just these rings that came out from it. And I'm like, okay. And so basically, the circle where the heart was in the middle, anybody who is in there has direct access to your heart. And so for me, it's absolutely God. God is, I mean, if anybody can have anybody else in that circle, it's God, because we can trust him with everything and be completely vulnerable with him. If you have a healthy marriage, a healthy spouse, your spouse can be in there. Mm. On occasion, John might be on ring two or three, but let me put that in perspective, because there are times when I'm feeling some sort of way. Just because I am. It could have been a hard day. It could have been whatever. And John can say almost anything. And I'm just like, ugh. And so in my mind,
so you're saying I
and
get
in my heart,
I get moved to another ring sometimes, through no fault sometimes, of my own.
Yes. Because you know what? And that's the cool thing. I'm being completely vulnerable right now to everybody. And especially with
you. I forgive you.
Good job.
Because I believe it's important.
I know.
Yeah.
It's very important because John and I have a very, very good relationship and a great marriage. But there are times that I can be feeling some sort of way. Maybe I'm just being emotional. Maybe it's something, you know, bad day, whatever the case is. The other thing I want to mention here too is that when we get hurt from other people, it might be you. It might be you. If you are a person who holds on to offense, almost anything somebody says, you can see it skewed. Mm-hmm. You can take it skewed.
I got pictures in my head about people right now.
Being skewed.
Let's not share.
We won't, but I got pictures.
We're not going to hurt anybody.
Hey, forgiveness is the first step.
Yes. So, you know, I think that we shared an example similar to this before. You know, if I have lots of offense and I'm holding on to it, and John says, wow, you look really nice today. All I hear is, I didn't look nice yesterday. When you are an offended person, that's what you're going to hear.
You take everything the wrong way.
Right. I mean, I can remember times when I would say to one of our children, wow, you did so good on this test. And one of the other kids would say, well, what about when I did it on my test? Yeah. Well, that doesn't mean I said
you
did
bad.
Yeah,
Jay, why'd you keep saying that?
Well, except I actually didn't do good on the test. So. Just kidding.
Yes. So, you know, but I mean, you can need to move people out while you take care of that offense, yeah, or you get past that emotional time or whatever.
I think too that when you are in the position where you're putting people further away because you're dealing with your own stuff, that they understand that that's what's going on. That mm-hmm. like whether you have a full conversation with them about it or not, just be like, yeah, I'm not having a good day, or
yeah,
something happened at work today that is just, you know, bothering me. But like, make sure that they know that. Like, yeah, don't just block them off and not talk to them or whatever, because then they're going to think that they did something wrong, and it could turn into something that it doesn't need to be. You know, like having that, if you have somebody that is that close to your heart and you feel like you need to move them away or remove yourself from that situation, and it's not their fault, make sure that they know that that's not their fault, so that they can be in the understanding that
you're just having a hard time.
Right. Like, yeah, this isn't necessarily my fault, but I know that I need to step back so that they can do the healing they need to do.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Excellent point to communicate that, especially for the people who are close to you. Absolutely. So I really like that. That was good. So when we're looking at these rings around your heart, and so the person or persons that are within that inner circle have direct access to your heart. And then you can have, you know, your kids or your family members on a couple of rings out, you know, again, this is something that you don't even have to conversate with people. You can do this all on your own. You don't have to tell the person. I don't recommend it.
You're on ring 457,000.
Right. I really don't like you right now. You're in ring 7.
Right. So I don't recommend it, just because it's something that is that you are using to protect your heart, yeah. basically. So these rings are there to protect you. So the further out the rings go, the less access the people have to your heart. I do highly recommend that if they are your kids, that they are, especially if they're younger, they should not be even maybe on ring 2 or 3. You've got to keep them somewhat removed because they're growing up. But, you know, even in the inner circle, and this is access to your heart. Understand that.
Right. It doesn't mean you love them less.
No.
Right.
No.
That's not what you're saying.
Right. This is, we're strictly talking, these rings are access to your heart because they're still growing, and in family can be hard, you know, and so you can have to have those hard talks and stuff. And there are times when I realize that one of them snuck into the inner circle because I feel hurt. Like if they're just choosing to do something else instead of, you know, and it, because they have the right to, I mean, especially the yeah. older ones, that they're starting to live their life and they're just whatever. I can't let that hurt me. I can't sit here and go, well, they don't want to be with me. They would rather be out with their friends. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Not that I really think that, but I can't be like that. But if I find that it's hurting me, they probably snuck their way, not their bed, my
right,
bed,
right,
into the inner circle. So I need to move them out. Ring 2, ring 3, something like that. So this is a way to protect your heart. Again, if you do not have a healthy marriage or even like your close friend, they say something that hurts you, you can put them wherever you feel comfortable in any one of those rings going out from your heart. But the cool thing about the heart, I'm sorry, about the rings, that doesn't happen with the walls is that the love goes out equally. Mm-hmm. You can still love all of those people because we know that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the love always has to be pouring out. And so with those rings around your heart, you can always be loving those other people because even strangers, we need to love as Christians. That's what we're supposed to do. So, but of course, I'm not going to let a stranger who I'm trying to share God with and trying to love on them, they're not coming anywhere close to my heart.
Right.
Like that's not,
if
but
you,
that's.
If you start ahead. Letting strangers and people that you don't know get close to your heart or before you kind of have that trust, then that's just opening all kinds of opportunities for you to get hurt. And that's a great way to start building walls because you think mm-hmm. that somebody that you shouldn't have ever let that close to your heart, that close to your heart. And then you think you need to build a wall and then other people start getting affected that were closer to you. So
right.
It's really important to remember to keep people where they belong when it mm-hmm. comes to the closest to your heart and to like remember that that's where they're at. And it takes, you know, like you said, it takes a lot to bring mm-hmm. it back. Like if you lose that trust, it's mm-hmm. not going to be easy.
Right.
But if you make it easy, it's only going to hurt you. You're going to have to keep moving them back, moving them forward, moving them back. It's like you right. need to make sure that if you're going to put them in that ring, that they belong there. And
right.
that you're able to handle that and that you're able to be vulnerable towards that person.
So. Right. Exactly. Yep. So understanding the love can always go out, but the rings are there to protect yourself. And this is something that you can absolutely do inside of you. You can, I personally just picture it in my head and that's how I process it. Some people might have to draw it, write it down, you know, to help process, to move those people around to where they need to be for the time being. But doing this helps you to forgive. Mm-hmm. Putting these people removed from your heart, especially if it's somebody who you are in active connection with, whether it's family, whether it's a friend, whether it's a coworker. If you have to be around them on a day-to-day basis, and yet you know that you need to be forgiving them, it's hard to, especially if it's somebody you're not necessarily having that conversation with, like, hey, you hurt me. It's somebody at work who's just maybe not a nice person or just behaves a certain way. Maybe your personalities don't get along.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be out on ring 47, like, you know, so that they don't have that access. but it allows you the opportunity to not have walls up, which keep you separated from those people that you want to be close with, and also gives you the opportunity to forgive them. Mm-hmm. And there's many different ways of forgiveness to walk through, to write things down, to say that you forgive them. I mean, I'm really not going to get a lot into that today, possibly in the future, but to walk through that forgiveness. And the one thing I do want to say about it is that as you are forgiving, know that if you say, okay, I forgive them, it doesn't mean that it's not, like, if it comes back around where you see that person again and you kind of feel this like punch in the gut, you're like, ugh, you know, you probably still need to forgive them more. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you didn't forgive. It just means there's more to have to deal with and have to process, because forgiveness can be a journey. Mm-hmm. It can be an ongoing process. It doesn't necessarily just snap your fingers and,
right,
you know, it's gone. But if you choose to use this method, which I highly, highly recommend.
It works.
Go ahead. Preach.
There's been a lot of people in my life, like, I don't remember exactly how old I was when she told me about this ring thing the first time, but it definitely was one of those things that, like, I took to heart and that I started using, and just kind of out throughout, you know, high school and just even where I'm at now, it definitely has. I've had to remember, like, oh, that person hurt me. I'm like, why they hurt me so much? I was like, oh, I guess, you know, I had them a little closer than I should have. Like, they're not in a position where they deserve to be that close. Like, let me push it back. I mean, it's a method that seems silly when you look at it face value, but when you actually start applying it, it's, well, oh, wow, yeah, I guess so, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. It's like God knows what he's talking about.
Or something.
He gave that to me, and yeah, it does. It seems like a simple picture, and whenever I've shared it with people, they do kind of look at me like, huh? But then once they... I've seen the expression of their faces of the hurt and the, what do I do with all of this? And when I give them this tool, this method that God gave me so many years ago, and they might go, that sounds strange. But then, like, as we talk about it, I feel like their look even changes on their face, because now they have control. Mm-hmm. Now they have control over how can I handle this? And it's healthy. That's what the tools in your toolbox are supposed to do. The methods that God gives us and the different things, this is how we can handle it, because we don't ever want to feel out of control and vulnerable.
Yeah.
If we make ourselves vulnerable, we at least want to have some kind of control over what I can do in order to help redeem all of this.
Right.
The one other thing, which is actually sounds a little bit even more silly, which worked great with you guys as kids, is when one of the kids would be having their frustrated time, possibly a fit or something like that, God told me to picture them in a bubble.
The penalty box.
Yeah, they're in a bubble.
Yeah.
And so in my emotions and in my mind, I would picture them in a bubble. And what that does is it helps remove myself from emotionally. Mm-hmm. I'm removing myself emotionally from what's happening in this situation. And particularly because that's where I very first applied it, was when you guys were little. It helped me because I could then look at you and I could see your frustrated state. I could see that you are just growing. You're just learning. You're just trying to figure this thing we call life out, you know? And it helped me to remove myself emotionally. Because then whatever came out of this frustration, this ball of, I kind of see the cartoons where the cat and the dog and the, like that's kind of like what I would see in my head.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just this
big ball, this of
crazy,
mess.
Big ball of crazy, yeah. You know, and so I would just put it in a bubble. And then that way I could actually, instead of what was being said or happening, I wasn't taking personally.
Yeah.
I was seeing it at for what it was. And when doing that, I can actually say, I understand you're working through this, like in my mind, obviously, because I wouldn't say that to you guys because you guys would just probably freak out even more.
Yeah.
I would say, you know what? I'm gonna pray for you.
Yeah.
I understand you're growing, you're learning, you're trying to figure all this stuff out. And so I want to join with you in your growing up, and I want to pray over you for this so that we can work out this together.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I know it sounds silly, but it does really help you if maybe in a work situation, if somebody is super frustrated with whatever the situation is and they get all kinds of crazy or whatever, picture them in a bubble.
I have never heard this bubble thing before.
No? Wow.
I mean, the ring thing I was all about, but the bubble thing? But now, because I just see you, Jay, floating around in a bubble. Like, there's Jay floating in a bubble.
Just do your thing.
And Jay wasn't the only one. I actually did it with all the kids at certain points.
Name drop.
But Jay lived in a bubble for most of the time.
The but bubble was comfortable.
It really does. Yeah. It really does help be able to remove yourself emotionally in order to help that person, to even help that person.
Not just to remove yourself from a situation to let them figure themselves out, but to also, like you said, to be help to them without letting yourself be affected negatively.
Yeah, perfect. Yep, that's exactly what it is. So again, they might sound a little silly. God definitely speaks to me through pictures that he gives me, but I highly recommend both of those methods to apply. And then being able to be on top of being more in control using these methods, you're able to forgive and be able to start walking through that forgiveness, whether it's something that happened a long time ago or something that is happening currently. And, you know, of course, I have to highly recommend if it's something that is very tragic as far as an abusive relationship or something, get out. Like, get out, get out, get out. You can walk through that process when you're not being currently affected in that way.
Not in it.
Yeah, for sure. But I hope that this was helpful today. I do appreciate Jay coming and sharing his thoughts and his experiences with us.
Of course.
And I really hope that these methods, that you're able to apply them to be able to start walking through that forgiveness. Let God take down the walls. Yeah. Let him take them down. They do no good for anybody except for what Satan wants to do to you is kill, steal, and destroy. So let's not let him have his way. Let's let the walls come down. I know that God will remove them as soon as you are truly ready for that to happen. So be encouraged. There is hope.
Yeah.
There is. I promise. And it is worth it. And I know we all want God to forgive us. So we're going to forgive others. Mm-hmm. So I know you guys can do it. So let's take those walls down. Let's trust God. Let's implement some of these methods to be able to forgive.
And remember that it takes time. None of this stuff is quick. None of it. It's the circles and the bubbles and the everything in between. It all takes time. And if you feel like, you know, you're in a position where I've been trying to do this for so long and it just must not be working. It's like, well, you know, maybe you're almost there. You just need to, you know, keep going. Like, it takes time. It's going to take effort. Like, it's not going to be a, oh, well, I drew the circle on a whiteboard. Why isn't it working? Why am I not happy now? You know, like, you got to pray about it and invite God into everything and remember that. So
that's an amazing last word. Thank you so much. And I do have to wrap it up by saying,
oh, geez,
that Jay got his first real adult job. Were you 19?
I was 18 when I started.
Oh, really?
I think so. Yeah.
How many years you've been there? How many years now?
2.5, going on 3.
Well, you just turned 21, so let's do backwards math.
So it was right before I was 19.
Yeah. You were 18 for like 2 months or a month or something.
So he started working for an electrical company, and he's working on his certification. And I don't, it's the strangest thing. It was like a switch flicked.
Like a light switch.
You did that on purpose.
I literally did not even think about that to this very second.
Come on.
I did not mean that. I really did
not. That's actually why I decided to be an electrician, was because of that.
But I, just like whenever he was like a super chill baby and then all of a sudden he started walking and just totally changed, he took on this position and started learning how to be an electrician. And it was like...
overnight?
It was overnight. It really, like, it hit me one day. It could have been a couple of days. But like, Jay just became this adult and I feel like the majority of all of the struggles in those long talks we used to have as a teenager trying to help you understand and everything, like it just all changed so fast. And you are one of the most amazing young men I have ever known.
Oh, thank you.
And very, very close to my heart. And
which ring?
Not the inner one.
Not Dang number it. One.
Almost there. Working on it.
But you will be in somebody's inner ring one day. Because you are an amazing, amazing person. And I'm just, it just, for all those years, let me just tell you, I said, God, I know that this is going to pay off one day. I would, like the whole thing, not just Jay, but like all the kids. Cause man, when you have four leaders, it can be hard, but, it really like, it like shocking.
Yeah.
And that was not another
electrician joke.
joke.
I guess switched, it got flicked and then it was shocking.
It was a shocking experience.
So shocking. But yes, I'm truly grateful that God helped us all through that, and that He has that you are really going after Him, and it's an amazing thing. So thank you for being here.
Of course.
And thank you all for joining us today. And until next time, continue believing in the one and only true God, and we will see you then.